be with you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for today's message is today's gospel, and I'm starting at the 51st verse. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. The Jews said to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets, yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died and the prophets died? Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered, if I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, he is our God. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I'd be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. So far the text. Dear friends in Christ, today is Trinity Sunday, and as we can see in the gospel, most of it has to do with Jesus and who he says he is, and or as the religious leaders in the text would say, who he thinks he is or is pretending to be. Now, like I said earlier, this is unusual for Jesus to do something so publicly. He doesn't privately go to his disciples and explain what it means that he is God. Instead, he picks one of the most public places at one of the most public times to do this, to say exactly who he is. And, of course, the backdrop of this is the Feast of Tabernacles. And at this feast, the mass of the people had three opinions about who Jesus was. He's either the Messiah, or he is demon-possessed, or we don't know who he is. Those are the three main opinions. And they're based on what had taken place up to this point. So first of all, Jesus gets in an argument with the religious leaders, and he wins the argument. And these guys look foolish, and they're embarrassed. The next thing is they try to have Jesus arrested, and they're very confused by why the soldiers cannot arrest Jesus. So they're embarrassed twice. And then comes the story of the woman who's caught in adultery. They think they're going to really nail Jesus on that one. And at the end, Jesus says, you without sin cast the first stone, and everyone leaves, from the eldest to the youngest. So basically, in public, Jesus has forced these guys to show themselves to be as sinful as everybody else, and that's more embarrassing than anything else. And so they are furious at Jesus. And then we come to this text, and Jesus is not backing down. Just before this text, Jesus says to them that your father is Satan. And then it becomes kind of like a childish retort. Oh, yeah? Well, it takes one to know one, because basically they say, well, you're demon-possessed then. And then Jesus ends the argument by upping it even more by saying, before Abraham was, I am. And they understand exactly what he means by that. And that's not just bad grammar, okay? Jesus is making a point here. The word in Greek for I am is the same word in Greek in the Old Testament where God describes himself to Moses at the burning bush. It's the same language he uses. So he's saying, I'm God. And they understand exactly what he's getting at, because 11 chapters from now, when they turn Jesus over to Pontius Pilate, they'll say to him, oh, by the way, he claims to be the Son of God. Now, what about the Trinity can we learn from this text? Well, we can learn that Jesus is co-eternal with the Father and the Holy Spirit, and that he's co-equal with the Father and the Holy Spirit. And that's fine. But once we try to go a little further than that to explaining the Trinity, we run into all kinds of problems. We run into heresy, for that matter. For example, one way of describing the Trinity that I've heard is the Trinity is like water. It comes in three forms, right? It can be liquid or gas, or it can be a solid, but it's still water. Or the Trinity is like a man who can be a father and a son and a brother or something like that, but he's still, at the same time, a man. First of all, that doesn't explain the Trinity at all, and second of all, it leads into a heresy called modalism, which you want to avoid. Another way of describing him, as often been used, is the three-leaf clover. right? You have a leaf, but it's got three leaves. So you see, it's three in one. It's like the Trinity. Or it's like an egg, right? You got the shell, you got the white, you got the yolk. And that's like an egg, but it's three in one. No, that doesn't explain the Trinity, and that leads us into a heresy called tritheism, which we want to avoid as well. No, the Trinity means three equals one, and guess what? Three doesn't equal one. But when God says three equals one, it does. And that's confusing. So, to understand the Trinity, hey, let's look at the Athanasian Creed. By the way, we're not going to recite that entire thing today. If you want to, hey, it's in your hymnal. You can look at it sometime during the service. It's very long and very confusing. Nothing wrong with it. It's one of our creeds. I mean, when I was confirmed, I vowed to uphold the Athanasian Creed. The same thing happened when I was ordained. And so I see nothing wrong with it. It's all true. We run into trouble when we think the Athanasian Creed explains the Trinity. That's not what it was meant to do. It's a creed. It's not an explanation. It's a confession of faith. Very different things. An example of this is when Gabriel came to Mary and says, you're going to have a baby even though you're a virgin, and he's going to be the Savior of the world. And she says, how can this be? In other words, could you please explain this to me? And so he does explain it to her, right? You'll be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit and conceive a child. She doesn't say at that point, oh, now I understand, because that doesn't explain anything. And if she had said, well, that doesn't explain anything, then Gabriel would have said to her very simply, look, you don't have to understand how it's going to happen. You just have to trust that it's going to happen. I think really the key to us getting full understanding of this text, and the Trinity for that matter, is verse 51. Jesus says, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. Now, we might have trouble understanding the Trinity, but we don't have trouble understanding death. We understand it so well, we try to ignore it. Until our loved ones start dying and our friends start dying, and we start seeing that we're getting older, and there's no ignoring death. It's going to happen to everybody. Two people have gotten away with not dying, right? Everyone else has. I think that the odds are pretty much against us. We understand death, and that's why Christ's promise here is so incredibly important. It not only makes our life, but it transforms our life. Now, there are a couple mistakes we can make with this verse, though. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Okay, and we think to ourselves, well, what's that word? Well, he must mean commandments, and he must mean the Ten Commandments, and he must mean you must love each other as I have loved you. So we have to keep those things perfectly, and we will not see death. That's not what he's talking about. If that's the case, then we got a problem, because none of us are going to keep the commands and keep his word perfectly. His word is not always do this, don't do that. His word is not always Ten Commandments. His word is trust me. And his word is, follow me. The second mistake we can make with here is getting things a little backwards, flipped around. We see that with these words here. Truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, then he will never see death. I'll give you an example of how we can get things a little switched around. Take living and breathing, right? Now, when I was a little kid, probably like a lot of you, every night I'd pray the same prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I awake, what? You know, finally it dawned on me what I was saying. Wait, am I going to die before I wake? And the Lord's going to take my soul, which is fine, but not right now. I got things to do, right? And I'm thinking, well, why am I going to die in my sleep? And the only thing I could come up with was, I'm going to forget to breathe. When I'm awake, I never forget, right? I remind myself, breathe. Okay, whew, man, that was close. But when I'm sleeping, I can't remind myself, so when I'm sleeping, I'm going to forget to breathe. I'm going to die. And there goes Jesus taking my soul. And I had a couple sleepless nights, you know, reminding myself, okay, I'm glad my mom didn't walk in. She probably thought I was, you know, lost my mind, you know. Of course, that lasts only so long, right? Eventually, you just pass out and go to sleep and stop worrying about that and worry about something else. But do we breathe in order to live? Or do we breathe because we live? That's why we breathe, because we're living, not the other way around. And it's the same with this. Our triune God has given us life, and the Holy Spirit has given us faith to trust and follow him, and that's the breath of life. We don't follow Jesus and trust in him so that we have life in him. We have life in him, and that's why we trust and follow him. Now, are we going to have troubles? Of course. But in this promise in verse 51, we see that all troubles we face are temporary. Will we have doubt? Yes, of course we will. We all do. And yet in this verse and the promise that's in this verse, we see that there comes a day when all those doubts come to an end. And will we die? Yes, we will. But in the promise of this verse, Jesus tells us that when we die, in that instant, our life is transformed to an even greater life. I pray that we have peace in our triune God and what he has done for us, and especially in Jesus Christ, who gives us the promise that in him we will never truly taste death, but we will see him in a world that's yet to come. In Jesus' name, amen.